Thanks so much for checking out this weekly segment. I sit down every Friday with my good friend 30 in Still Gaming, and we chop up either a recap of news from the week or a single subject. And this one hit the airwaves just yesterday. So I'm coming from a stream about Hellblade 2, 30 FPS. If you want to see my rant and monologue about that, go watch that. But this is going to be about Sea of Thieves PS5 exclusives. Yes, you heard that right. I've got their webpage pulled up. We're going to take a look at this. There's a closed beta coming. The release is coming. There's features. It's people are upset, understandably, that we're going to get a little bit more on PlayStation compared to Xbox. And I'm going to end the previous stream and redirect people over. Make sure as you guys come over, you smash that like button. Mike, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having me, man.
Well, did you see this news yesterday, or is this the first time you're hearing about it?
I didn't. I asked Creature last night. I was like, is there a show tomorrow? He's like, yep. And I'm like, what are we talking about? He's like, Sea of Thieves. He's like, Sea of Thieves. I was like, what happened with Sea of Thieves? So this morning I did look up what it was. So I do know a little bit. I don't know if I know it all, but I do know a little bit.
Yeah. So for those that are just catching up, like you're like, what is happening? Well, Sea of Thieves is actually coming to the PlayStation 5. And they also have a closed beta as well. So they posted this on April the 1st. 2024, and the PS5 release for Sea of Thieves is April the 30th. So we're actually pretty close to that. It's April, you know, today is April the 5th. But this little blog post that they put out there, they were wondering, like, oh, here's all the questions people are going to ask. And the first thing was, will my progress and my items transfer over? They said, fear not, when you link your PlayStation and Microsoft accounts, any active pirate character becomes playable in the PS5 version. So that's really nice. Like, if you're like me, I play the game off and on over the years. I can bring all my stuff with me. Like, I'll have all my progress. I'll have all of my stuff. But then it gets a little bit more contentious because there were some people on, you know, Twitter that were upset about this. It says, will there be special cosmetics to celebrate the launch of Sea of Thieves on PS5? And it says, pirates who pre-order on PlayStation 5 will gain exclusive access to 4 Ruby Viper weapons and the Scarlet Storm Parakeet. Additionally, those participating in the PS5 closed beta will also earn the Dauntless Adventurer sales and the title as unlockable rewards. These cosmetics are classified as non-transferable and will be exclusive to players on the PlayStation platform. We are currently making plans for a unique sale that will be available to all players during the PlayStation 5 launch period. This sale will commemorate coming together of pirates across all platforms. Stay tuned for further details. Mike, what do you make of this? This is an Xbox first party title. It was an exclusive. This is rare. Coming to PlayStation, and they're saying, we're going to give you stuff that the Xbox guys can't get.
See, I personally don't care about the exclusives because you've had Sea of Thieves on Xbox for 5 years, right? Like, you literally had the playground to yourself for 5 years, and now they're giving stuff over to PlayStation. One, because they have to, because they want people that never played Sea of Thieves before, kind of bring them in and be like, hey, if you play this, we're going to give you stuff for just playing. And then we're also giving you stuff if you pre-order. So they want an incentive for pre-order because obviously it's a brand new platform. So I look at this as just a gamer. I don't look at this as a fanboy from one side or the other. I'm looking at this as going, okay, well, it's a new game. Even though it's a five-year-old game, it's a new game coming to PlayStation platform, and they have to promote it and give incentives of people. Why do I want to play your pirate game? Oh, you got cool sales. You got cool cosmetics. Neat. Now, I don't know why Xbox fans would be so upset because they have, you know, cosmetics. They do this in all games that come to PlayStation or whatever, the exclusive. Like, Hogwarts Legacy had a completely separate mission that I still haven't gotten in Xbox. It's what we're getting, like, later this summer. So I have no personal bias against them. Cool. Let them have their own stuff, right? Let them get their own things to incentivize them to pre-order the game and then play the game. So I'm cool with it.
Do you think this is going to be something we see with more games coming over? I think that might be the concern, is that, you know, Hi-Fi Rush came over and had DualSense, and, you know, it had extra features for the DualSense, and people were kind of upset about that. Mm. There was even some performance improvements, minor, very minor, but some performance improvements with, like, the shadows that, you know, people are like, this is now the best place to play. There were even some reviews that were like, this is the best place to play Hi-Fi Rush. You know, it's a rhythm game, and the added features for the DualSense. Do you anticipate this being a theme going forward? Like when they bring games over, are we going to see this little uptick in either performance or features for PlayStation owners?
Sure. I mean, why wouldn't they, right? Again, these are games that are coming onto that platform for the first time, and you have to incentivize people and give them reasons. Like, why would I play your game? Look, they can even make a second sale because the people that own an Xbox, I mean, exactly why the stuff is moving over, right? If you're playing it on PC, you're playing on Xbox, and you also own a PlayStation, if all your stuff, and you're asking that question, is all my stuff going to move over to PlayStation? You're a dual console owner. So those people are not complaining because they can just boot it up and go, oh, wow, this is a better experience. But they also had to wait 5 years to get that experience over on this new platform, or, you know, on this platform they're coming to. So, yeah, I think, why wouldn't PlayStation adapt the controller where I believe you can speak into the microphone, into the actual controller, right? And then it comes over the loudspeaker or the microphone, whatever, on the ship. And I think that's a cool feature. Now, there was talk a while ago that Xbox was also trying to make a haptic feedback controller that might come down the line. So, you know, if that happens, well, then you would also have those type of features later on. You have to wait. But I this is why I don't know why we're talking about this. I was like, I don't find this is like off-putting at all. I think this is what you should do for people that are coming into your game for the very first time, because you want them to like the game and go, wow, this is amazing. This is really cool features. You can do this and this on PlayStation. I want to play this game. They want to give as many incentives as possible because Microsoft wants to make money. Right?
Sure. But I'm gonna be the Xbox guy right now. Okay.
This is weird. Go ahead.
I'm gonna play the role of the angry Xbox guy. It's betrayal. You're taking a game that was an exclusive over here, and you're not just taking it to another platform. You're also giving that platform more things that I don't get. If I want all of those things, I now have to buy the game a second time on a separate platform if I want all those cosmetics, those titles, those extra things. Not only that, the extra features. You know, Tom Warren tweeted there's going to be increased immersion through haptic feedback. You're going to feel every shot with the adaptive triggers. So they've added the DualSense support. So if I'm the Xbox loyalist, I feel kind of miffed by this. It's like, wait a minute, why aren't you guys at least adding, I know you can't add the DualSense stuff, but why wouldn't you add those things into our game too, so we can celebrate this moment for Sea of Thieves?
But what things are they adding to PlayStation that they can't add to Xbox besides the DualSense stuff? Everything else that they're doing besides the cosmetics, right? What other features are they getting that's like diehard that you have to... Like, these people that are playing on Xbox have been playing for 5 years and have been enjoying their time for 5 years, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So now all of a sudden something gets brought up and they're like, wait a minute, I was having fun, but I would have more fun if I had that skin on. Like, I don't understand.
Well, again, I'm going to try to be the Xbox guy here. I'm going to say, listen, man, we've supported this game for 6 years. We love this game. One of the primary reasons to play Sea of Thieves, pretty much the only reason, is to get cosmetics, to get titles, to get things like that. You don't get better weapons. You don't get right. better ships. You get to decorate everything. So as the Xbox guy, I'm going to say, listen to me now. I've supported your game, and you're giving more to the guys over there. Like, you know, at least give us the cosmetics. I think that would actually be a fair request from the Xbox guys to say, let us celebrate this too. Like, give us the cosmetics.
So you're I don't know what the cosmetics look like. Do we know what the cosmetics looks like yet?
I have no idea.
Would it be awesome if the cosmetic is like a PlayStation blue cosmetic, and you're telling me the Xbox fans would want to wear the PlayStation blue cosmetic? I mean, I don't know what it is.
Right. That's what they did in Hi-Fi Rush. It was just like a shirt. It wasn't that.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I don't know who these people are. I don't understand. Like, I've played something for that. It's like anything else. Like, if you're the first person to get it, you've been enjoying it for that period of time. And now someone else is getting it for the first time, and it's a new experience for them. So why would you, pardon the French, shit on their parade?
Right. Someone's asking in chat, are people actually making the argument that Xbox betrayed them? Yes. By the way, if you guys came over from the first stream, you're in a second stream, take one quick second and hit that like button. It does help out the video. There's a ton of you here. Thanks for being here. There's over 500 of you here. And yes, I want to interact with chat here. I'm not necessarily saying these people are wrong, okay? I know that listen, there's a part of me that takes a little bit of joy out of the people that used, you know, their platforms and their Twitter accounts and their YouTube channels to that, you know, to attack me and to ridicule me and to call me a grifter because of my positions on things. It's kind of funny to see a lot of them get like buckets of karma. It's like now they're having their games ripped from the platform, put on the competitor's platform, predictions that I have made, right? They're going to go third party. They're going to go, you know, they're going to put their software elsewhere. When it happens with Starfield, I'm going to grin ear to ear because of all of the attacks and harassment I've had to endure. So there is a point where I'm like, almost want to be like, haha, this is what you deserve. But at the same time, I do think they're kind of right. It's like, you set all these promises. Listen, I'm coming fresh off the heels of a Hellblade 2 stream where I'm like, Xbox promised all this stuff for their consoles. I'm not getting that with their first party titles. This is very similar. It's like, you guys promised us all this stuff. You guys sold us this idea of a brand and a platform, and that is just gone. More than that, you're giving the games over there and they get more stuff than we get. And we were the ones that supported the game all these years. You know, I think at some level, their frustration about being betrayed is right.
So are all these people that are on Xbox, are they automatically right now going to just stop playing because the other console got more stuff than them, which is not really more stuff. It's just cosmetic stuff, which you change like your underwear. You change pretty much every day in Sea of Thieves. Like you're going, you know, you change your cosmetics based on who you're playing with or the way you feel. If you're being, you know what I mean? Like you want to be right. A crew with somebody, you change your cosmetics, you bring your right. Dog out, you bring your monkey out, you bring your parrot out. Like you constantly change things. I don't understand that. It's not content. They're not getting more content, right? They're getting more ways to interact with the content that's across the board, across the entire game for everybody.
Well, let me try a different approach here.
I want to real quick. I want to hear what TJ Rage, because he said I have an L in chat like usual, all right? But that's not the point. What's the point then? And calling me Mikey. If I was in real life, I would punch you in the face right now.
Yeah, come on. Don't be condescending, TJ Rage. He's on the show every week. Some of you guys with gold badges that have been here a long time, you need to chill. You guys leave comments on these episodes and you insult my friend. I don't appreciate that. Like, be respectful.
Sorry, TJ Baby. It's all right, TJ Baby.
It's all right. It's all right, Turbo. You know, we'll come on. Have some respect and disagree without being kind of douchey, okay? We have a non-douchey policy here, especially for friends of the show and friends in real life.
Gloves are off. Gloves are off with TJ Baby.
I've known Mike for almost 10 years. Like, come the frick on here. Jiminy Christmas. Okay, so let me try a different approach here. If I only owned the Xbox Series X and I bought into that allegiance and I was like, I don't need a PlayStation, okay? After seeing what happened with Hi-Fi Rush, and now I'm seeing this happen with Sea of Thieves, it would be incredibly hard for me to not conclude that I would be better off over there. They're going to get our games anyway. They're going to get them all. Eventually, they're going over there, right? Some of the bigger titles we've heard, Indiana Jones is coming. You know, Hellblade 2 has been suggested that it's coming. You know, we don't know about Avowed. I mean, I continue to say Starfield. But then beyond that, eventually it's been sort of theorized and postulated that, listen, they're going to go day and date, especially with titles like Blade that are so far out. Blade's going to be day and date everywhere. So that's, I'm coming from that viewpoint. It's like, well, I might as well be over there. I might as well sell my Xbox. I especially feel that now seeing the announcement about Hellblade 2. It's like, what did I buy this for?
Okay, you're taking a bigger picture of all the stuff they're missing from Xbox in general, the 30 frames and stuff, or the 60 frames and stuff like that. If we're just talking about Sea of Thieves, the person that's been supporting Sea of Thieves for 5 years, if they started at the very start of this, you're telling me they're so mad because they don't get a skin and adapted feedback that they're going to sell their console, buy a $500 console, then pay more than full price for the game that they already owned for 5 years just so they can get a cosmetic skin? Is that what you're telling me right now?
See, what you're doing is I think you're making the mistake of zooming too far in. That's the minutiae.
Am I, though? Because if we're talking about just Sea of Thieves, though. Just Sea of Thieves. If someone's such a diehard fan...
It's not just Sea of Thieves, Mike.
But it is. We're talking about Sea of Thieves.
Hi-Fi Rush is being claimed to be better.
No, but now this is a different conversation. If you're bringing other games in with Hi-Fi Rush and Hellblade and all this other stuff, then 100% I get what you're saying. But if we're talking about Sea of Thieves, if they're going to sell their game that they're only playing Sea of Thieves that they're enjoying so much that they want those cosmetics and the haptic feedback, that they will buy the game again plus a $500 system, that then go for it. Then what's the sad part here for these people? If they're willing to sell their console and move over and spend that money to just play Sea of Thieves, then go ahead, do it.
No, no, no. I'll take that. I'll take that. Let's narrow it down to just the guy that's playing Sea of Thieves. It's worse because he's a big fan of the game and the most complete version is somewhere else. It's worse.
Sure. So then if that person really loves it, then he can go do that. And nothing's stopping him from doing that.
Right. But that's don't you understand the frustration there? It's like, well, I have to go now buy a new console to get the best version of my favorite game.
I personally don't, because you can literally play the game on PC. You can play it on Xbox, right? I don't. And that's the point that I'm making, that you can already play this game on a third party place from the beginning, which was PC. And the PlayStation players that wanted to play the game, if they have a PC, they could already play it. Now they're getting it on the PlayStation, and now they can play it with more features, but they had to wait 5 years to get this on their system.
I mean, that is fair to say they had to wait. You've been able to play it for 6 years. You got a lot of value out of the game in those 6 years. Don't disagree with that at all. But given that it is a live service game, I also think the optics on that makes it a little bit more rough. It's like, I keep coming back to your game and playing it, and I love it, and now the most complete and best version is over there on the rival console. I get where they're coming from. I'm sympathizing with that. It's like, I'd be pretty ticked too. I remember this with Destiny, right? That was a live service game, ongoing game, and PlayStation kept getting the extra stuff, and I played on Xbox. And I was like, come on, man. I bought the game. I played the game. I love the game. And the most complete version is over there. Like, I remember being annoyed by that. So I can you know, resonate with the people that feel like this is a bit of a betrayal. And that's just fans of Sea of Thieves. I mean, if you zoom out on this is like, I might as well go to PlayStation. That's how a lot of them feel.
And that's the beautiful part. And this is why I don't know why there's loyalty to one box or the other. You just play the games where you want to play, right? And this is why people like to make me one side or the other, but I'm not. I'm a gamer. And if I want to play that game, if I really wanted to play Sea of Thieves and the best experience and I had the money to do it, then yeah, I would go out and buy that if I wanted to. But I just can't fathom the one person that's playing Sea of Thieves. Like, that's the only game they've played. It's like an MMO, like World of Warcraft, right? This is the only game they've played the entire time. And they love Sea of Thieves so much, they've been on, either they play it on PC or they played it on Xbox, and all of a sudden, they're disgruntled because the game that they love the most is now has haptic feedback. If they love it so much, they're going to go out and buy that game again, on that system again, because that's what they want to do, because they want to support the dev or support the game, and this would make them more money by doing that, correct?
Oh, that's a pretty expensive upgrade. You got to buy the console at $500.
That's exactly. But that's what I just said in the last sentence before. You have to go back out and buy it. If you really love it and you really think you're like betrayed by the company, you're going to go buy the other console anyway.
Yeah, that's not reasonable. And you know it, to be like, if you like the game, you should be willing to buy a whole new console for $500. Like, come on.
You just said that before, that the person feels that they're going to sell their Xbox and then go buy the system. It's the same thing.
Yes, and their frustration would be not that they're unable to do that. Like, they could go trade in their Xbox, get trading credit, save up some money. They're not. It's that. That's not being removed from them. The reason I'm connecting with them is we bought into a bunch of promises 4 years ago. They took their hard-earned money, bought a box, thinking, this is it. This is my home base. This is where my games are. This is where I'm going to game. And now they're like, okay, I wasted my money. I should sell this thing and get the other box. I get why they're frustrated.
If we could all predict the future, none of us would make mistakes.
But to say it's a mistake is like they made a misjudgment. Did I make a misjudgment when I thought Xbox is going to give me a stronger box with 60 FPS?
But you didn't make a misjudgment at the time when they told you this. Now, again, this is a completely different conversation of being lied to by the corporation.
Right.
But we're sticking to just Sea of Thieves here. Sea of Thieves getting extra stuff, okay, is not that big of a deal. If you want to have a conversation about what Microsoft did and how they lied to us, we can have a show about that.
But it's a straw that broke the camel's back, because they've not gotten a lot of games this gen. They've been told to wait, and look at what they've had to wait for. They've had to wait for midway through the gen, watching their games go to the other platform and be better. Like, that's justified anger in my mind. They were told, wait until, it'll get better. Huge drought. The next 20, remember the showcase? All these games are coming in the next 12 months. Half of them don't show up. The games that do show up aren't complete, missing features. Now they announce a 30 FPS dynamic resolution game with Hellblade 2. And then all Sea of Thieves and Hi-Fi Rush are over on PlayStation 5 with more stuff! Like, it's justified anger.
Well, you're absolutely right. Sea of Thieves doesn't exist in isolation unless you're having a podcast about Sea of Thieves.
Right, but if we get too isolated on just Sea of Thieves, what we're not doing is not considering the gamers speaking, because the gamers speaking are not just in Sea of Thieves.
Sure, but what I'm saying, okay, so what are people supposed to do that are on Xbox right now that have been playing Sea of Thieves? What are their options right now?
They're not good. That's the problem. They're not good options.
Right. So their option is to stop playing the game that you like playing, right? Or spending more money, either trading in your Xbox, because all games don't live in isolation. Maybe they like something else that's on Xbox, so they'll probably keep their Xbox, right? Maybe they like Game Pass and they want to keep Game Pass because they don't have a lot of money, so they can put $12, $15 a month and play a lot of games. So again, they probably didn't even play full price for Sea of Thieves, even though it was a $40 game. They probably playing it just on Game Pass, right? So they can't, the majority of the people are playing on Game Pass, right? So they stopped doing that. So they could sell their Xbox so they can go over to PlayStation so they can pay $500 for a full price Sea of Thieves game so they can get 203 achievements.
250 achievements.
Yeah,
trophies.
Whatever. 200. Yeah, whatever it is. 250, which is only 60 achievements over on Xbox, right? I believe I think it's 60 achievements on Xbox and it's 200. Would you say 50? 53? Something like that?
250 achievement trophies, yes.
Yeah, 250. So the reason they're putting the achievements there, PlayStation players like to platinum stuff, right? And to platinum things, you got to get all the trophies, right? So they want people to play their game. I'll get it back on track, Lono, about Sea of Thieves, right?
No,
they
it's
want
fine,
people
it's
to,
fine.
They want people to play Sea of Thieves, and they want them to stay there longer because they need the player base to be there, so it makes it look like the game is more popular than it is. And they're trying to give the cosmetics to PlayStation players to, one, get them in there. Two, if they pre-order, which they know they have a sale then, because that's what the business wants to do. They want to make a sale, right? So they're pre-ordering the stuff so they can get the actual cosmetics. They get cosmetics, they get the sales, they get other stuff in there.
Yeah.
So they get in on the ground floor while they're beta. Then they can test it, right? Because there's a beta out there, and you get the beta automatically once you pre-order the game, okay? Then once you're finally in the game, you have 250 things to do to try to platinum, which is going to take a really long time. I know this because I've been playing the game for 5 years, and I still don't even think I have all the trophies because some of them are really hard to get, okay?
Yeah.
So this is why they're doing what they're doing and why they're putting 250, because Xbox like achievements, but PlayStation fans really like their trophies, and this is why they're giving them 250 trophies. Now, who's to say that Xbox doesn't update the achievement list with each season to add more achievements to get stuff? Because they do that all the time in video games. But this is why they're doing it on PlayStation. This is why they're giving the cosmetics. This is why they're doing the beta. And this is why there's 250 achievements, or I'm sorry, trophies that you can get.
Cool, bud. Sorry, my son just poked his head in the office. Yeah, where you're coming from is there's a huge part of my brain that's like, he's exactly right. They're not just, and this is the dilemma of bringing Xbox games to PlayStation. The dilemma is you need to have good optics to the new customer of like, hey, we're not just giving you, you know, leftovers from Thanksgiving dinner. Like,
right.
This is a whole new package and game, a pretty bow on it, and like nice shiny stuff. Like, there's optics that are important there. And arguably, from a business perspective, those optics are way more important because those people are going to pay money to buy Sea of Thieves. So you got to kind of grease those reels.
Give a little value
reels.
There. Right. Give a little value for the price you pay.
Yeah. On that topic, you are 100% correct. This makes perfectly good business sense to say at some level, the optics of the potential new consumer matter way more. It's like when you have DirecTV and you see that commercial and they're like, get Showtime free for 3 months.
Yeah.
New customers
yeah.
only. And you're like, mother. Like, I totally get that the new customer optics on this. That's always going to be the issue. However, Xbox has to consider what they're actively doing to their brand and brand confidence when it seems as though your games that you make, your first party games that you make, are going to be better on the other platform. And, you know, the whole every screen is an Xbox thing. I'm like, what's the point in like this next iteration of Xbox hardware? I'm more convinced now than ever that it is going to be some kind of a handheld hybrid, because like, why would I ever bother right now buying a Series X or a Series S? Because apparently there's a white Series X coming this holiday. It's a digital version. Who cares? The brand confidence has got to be shaken at this point. So I think you're right, but I do think there's collateral damage of
absolutely
that that core Xbox consumer, man, that's looking shaky, right?
We've had this conversation in the past. Like, the next Xbox that comes out, I'm not picking it up day one. I'm not picking it up month one. I'm not picking it up year one. I'm going to wait until they show me games that come out and say, hey, we're doing 8K now with 120 frames per second, right? If it's on the box, screw you. I don't believe you until I actually see games that come out. Like, we're 4 years into the cycle of Xbox, and I'm 100% on board. We've already had this conversation, right? I'm not going to sell my Xbox, right? Because I'm baked into the games I have and whatnot. But I'm definitely not buying another Xbox until they can prove to me that they're loyal to the fans that we have. But I'm also not going, oh, and one of those people, I don't know if it was real or fake, where they all of a sudden third-party games were coming, and they're picking up their Xbox and then putting it in the microwave and smashing it and stuff like that because they're upset about it. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not that. I'm still playing games. You know what I mean? It's not that big of a deal for me.
Yeah, and listen, the meltdowns on Twitter, they're entertaining and, you know, largely probably exaggerated for show. I mean, I don't know. I think some of these people were generally pretty ticked off. I think they really bought into the mantra, and some of them feel used. You know, some of these guys were very much a part of AstroTurfing. They were given information and, you know, they were given, hey, here's some bad news, soften the blow. But they were also given talking points and ways to make people think certain things. And I understand where they're coming from. They feel like, man, this is a pretty significant betrayal to be basically used as a marketing mouthpiece to give confidence. And then you have an audience, followers, people are like, hey, this guy, he's giving me the goods here. And then all of a sudden it's like, wait a minute, what's happening to the brand? Yeah. Now, the other thing that I said about Sea of Thieves coming to PlayStation 5 was I said, listen, this is a game known for just... I don't like this aspect of the game. It's known for people that only really care about sinking your ship and not even taking your stuff. They just want to sink
your
ship. You
can literally have console wars on the seas now. You can have a whole PlayStation group against a whole Xbox group versus a PC group. And boy, I feel bad for the console guys because those PC guys are going to murder them all.
Well, here's great news about that, Mike. You can actually disable crossplay. Well, hang on. There's a lot to this. You can disable crossplay so that you only play against controller-based players. So PlayStation and Xbox players can kind of say, "No, thank you. You know, we don't want to deal with you mouse and keyboard sweaties on."
How does that work? How does that work with the mouse and keyboard crew that works on Xbox? Because they did that where you can put a mouse and keyboard to play Sea of Thieves on the Xbox.
It says players will also have the option to confine gameplay to fellow controller users, enabling play between both PlayStation and Xbox players who favor controller-based gameplay. So it sounds like it's immediately going to block the PC homies, and then also it's just controller. Now, that's the second part of how they're handling crossplay. Okay. Now, you personally, where do you play this game primarily?
I mainly play it on Xbox, yeah.
Okay. And you're controller then. So you're like me. Now, the real kicker here is that it says pirates playing on PlayStation can deactivate crossplay functionality, thereby restricting their gaming sessions to exclusively include other PlayStation users. And I threw confetti in the air because people have been playing this game for 6 years. It's like your first day in, you do not.
They're going to get destroyed.
That's right.
It's going to be like Shaquille O'Neal on the basketball court with elementary school kids. It's going to be like, get out of here. You're not getting that shot in there, right? Because no one's ever played, right?
Right, and it wouldn't be Christmas noobs. It would be like, you know, PS5 port noobs. It's like, hey, you guys are just now finally able to play this game, and we're gonna, especially with how, as you said, the console war people are. We're gonna let these guys know. They're gonna learn today. So I wonder if they're gonna make that like a prominent like draw attention to it, or are people gonna have to learn the hard way? Like they're gonna boot up like, hey, see if these is pretty neat, and those Xbox guys are gonna have knives in their mouth like ready. You know, we're gonna kill you.
What's really gonna be fun? You know who's winning from this? This is a real win for content creators on Twitch. Okay, because the content creators on Twitch, a lot of the people that have been playing over the years know the hiding spots and stuff like that because they play the game. This is all brand new content for them, man. They're gonna get so many noobs in the game for them to make content where they're hiding on the ships and messing with people, and just they're the real winners here, right? They're the real winners.
Well, and this is where I think Rare and Microsoft, they could really do something fun with this. Work with content creators and do what you just said. Have a green versus blue like set it up somehow. I mean, they might have to figure out a way to curate the matchmaking and, you know, get people into, you know, maybe they
It's really easy because you can opt in for game for PvP battles. So if you're just all PlayStation group, you just put your you put your time thing up and say, hey, I'm ready for PvP, and every once in a while a whole crew of Xbox will come in there and they'll go head to head. That'd be interesting.
I think that would be fun. Like, you know, make this fun. You know, it gets so toxic and mean-spirited on Twitter about this kind of stuff. Make it fun, right? Do some kind of a fun contest where you can, you know, because the Xbox guys would probably crush for at least a little while, because they have 6 years of experience. Where do you think they're taking this game, though? Because they did say, I remember that I sent this to Jez Corden. They did indicate that this would be like the last base game update. There was a tweet sent out by one of their community guys. He said that we see Season 11 as the last of the core expansions of the game. Season 12 will add new sandbox mechanics and so on and so on. So it seems as though they will not be doing what they call a core expansion of the game and how you play it any longer. There will be more seasons from what I can tell. But maybe this game is coming to PlayStation 5, big, huge, full offering, and they're going to let it coast. You know, maybe they're getting this thing ready for maybe not EOL, but like I feel like this game would be great to have a sequel.
I don't think it should have a sequel. I think they could just keep adding to it. I really do. Just listening to what you just said, because I didn't hear that before, I can see them, like, this is the testing ground, right? I don't know what their numbers are or whatever. You know, obviously they're moving it over to a third party because they want more growth. So if this is their last base expansion to the main game, then they would have to see, based as far as now, until they figure out how good it does on PlayStation, right? How many people are engaging? Obviously, you're going to get that huge spike, you know, at the very start, and then it'll plateau a bit, and then you'll see how it maintains. I think they have a number, and if that number doesn't get hit or maintain that number, then maybe this is the last, and that's it, and they just let it coast for the next, like, 2 years, like a sort of like Division did, right? Where Division 2, where they have seasons, but they didn't really put any major, like, massive content in there, right? So they'll just let it coast, like you said. But if it does well, then they'll kind of renegotiate, like, okay, it's a hit over here, we have more players than we've ever done before, what other kind of game modes can we put in? And then they'll adjust accordingly from there.
Yeah. They're also saying here on their website, you know, now that there's going to be a larger player pool, will we see 6 ships on a server ever again? They said they're currently exploring the return of 6 ship servers. Say that 5 times fast. And they'll update the players accordingly. So they do look like they're willing to make some changes and do updates and things of that nature. Now, they do say there's no current plans to integrate the PSVR2. People thought, man, oh man, this game would be good on the PSVR2, and they did say there's no current plans to integrate. I would love for them to do that. There's just probably no money in it, right? It's like they did it with Gran Turismo 7 and other games, like, hey, let's add support for the PSVR2. There's probably not really any money, but they did outline the DualSense controller. It says haptics. It says Sea of Thieves uses the haptic feedback technology within the DualSense controller to enhance the experience of movement and interacting in the world. I'm interested in how that feels when you're sailing, pulling on a rope, moving the sail, things like that, because that, I think, is the crown jewel of Sea of Thieves, is how it feels to be in the open water. The creaking, absolutely, the creaking of the boat, the crashing of the waves, the music, that you can hear the flapping and the snapping of the sails. It's just wonderful. They did such a good job with this, and that's why I would really hope that they could take this engine, this world, this thing they built, and do something else. Like, I think Rare, there's a lot of talent there. I think they've got a lot of good ideas. I just think the concern would be, you know, is it still the same Rare that it was all those years ago? And like you're saying, why not just add to what you've already done with the game?
They've done some really cool stuff. I don't know the last time you played. I forget if it's Sanctuary Outpost or I forget the other islands. It's slipping my mind right now. But they literally converted part of the story where there's like a giant town there now. It's like it evolved over time, sort of like division, like the White House in Division One, where it altered over time and, mm-hmm. and whatnot as you progressed. They every season they added a little bit more and more and more, and now there's like this giant. It's almost like a small town on this outpost, and it's really cool looking. And they've added forts and other things. And the way they're, I don't know if you watched the thing that they did about 2 weeks ago about talking about season 11, 12, 13, 14, whatever, the whole year. They showed what they were adding to the game with the, you know, zip lines, and they added this boss ship, okay, where you can go onto the ship, and then if you beat the ship, you are now the boss. Roaming around the world, and other people have to try to take it from you. Like, they're doing some really cool things in the game, which I think is really interesting. And that's why I think they could constantly just keep updating and adding bits and pieces to other islands, where I almost look at this like sort of like a Fallout 76 type of content, the way they do it, right? Where maybe, and I'm not saying they're doing this, but maybe down the line, they add where you have your own maybe personal island. You know what I mean? Where as you're doing stuff and sailing on the seas, maybe you can have like a they do it inside the ship now, where you can have your trophies and stuff on the ship. But maybe they have your own island that you can do later on. I don't know. There's tons and tons of things they can do. They can even add more islands to the actual map to the upper right hand corner. There's a gap missing. They can add more islands mm-hmm. there. They have instances they can do for the story missions where you go through the portal. So they can technically make another map completely separate where you go through a portal and it's like another giant map they can go through there. There's so many things they can do with this game, and I think it would be dumb to end Sea of Thieves 1 per se and then make a Sea of Thieves 2 where they can just continuously update this game and make it bigger and bigger.
I love your idea of like an island. Like you couldn't like maybe like sail to it, but you could instance to it.
Instance. Yeah.
Kind of like the Room of Requirement in Hogwarts, you know, and you could go there and then have all your stuff.
I thought they were going to do that with the captains. Did you ever make a captain, a sea captain?
No, I every time I try to come back to the game, one bad play session, I'm like, I've got so many other things I want to do with my time.
It's so cool the first time you play the music and the staircase opens up and you run down the stairs and then you're into this section that it reminds you of like the Goonies, of like One Eye Willie's ship is just sitting there. I thought when they first did that, I thought for sure that they were going to make you be able to like decorate that area. They've expanded in that area more, and they've had other captains. I forget what I haven't done it, so I forget what the Athena, and after Athena, there's something else. But they've expanded a lot more, and I mm-hmm. thought that's what they're going to do. I thought it was going to make like a hidden thing where you have your ship there, and it like you go outside the waterfall, sort of like the One-Eyed Willy ship in Goonies. But they never did that, and I still think they have something planned for that. I just think because maybe the player base was light, even though they said there was like 30 million people that played the game or whatever, or logged in. Okay. But I think because less people were playing, they kind of held back on that stuff. And now because the injection of the PlayStation players, maybe they can do it.
Yeah. I've always thought that this game has, there's something special about it. And I know the longstanding debate. I always get shot down. I'm like, can I please just have a PvE environment? You know what I'm saying? Because I know that part of the romance and part of the game's, you know, substance is that you're always under threat. Somebody might come get you. But I seriously would just love to play on my two TVs with my kids or my wife and just do that thing, that sailing and getting treasure and not having to worry about all that. And I know people are always like, oh, they launched Safer Seas. I'm like, that's just a tutorial environment. That's not intended to be anything that you stay in long term, because you can't actually progress almost anything in the game. No, a bunch of it's turned off. You can't do certain.
You can progress, but you can only go up to level 40 with each of the emissaries. So I play with my kid all the time, right? So he was real low level. I don't get any XP. It doesn't go anything past, because I'm way past 40 on each of the emissaries.
Okay.
Right? He goes up to levels, so the gold hoarder, he gets up to 40, I forget their names, but you can go up to 40, level 40. If you want to go past 40, then yes, you have to go into the unsafe seas, or the normal game.
I was also under the impression that like there are entire portions of the game that like you can't even do. There's just things you cannot do, so you can take
like
those to 40. I don't remember. I remember reading their thing on it, and it was like, this is not available, this is not available. Like, they listed things that you just couldn't do. And I was like,
You can play the stories still, right? Because that's not in Safer Seas. That's just story mode anyway. You can play Safer Seas, and you can go up to level 40 for the emissary stuff. You can't do the Reaper stuff, because that's, you need to be in PvP area to do stuff like that. So there are things that you need to have PvP in, but this, you're not wrong though by saying it's a tutorial, right? So if like you play with your kid, this would be a good way of teaching him to understand everything that's going on in the game. By the time he's level 40 in those things, then you would go into the normal game and then play into the normal game, and it would be a lot smoother transition than just, you know, sink or swim type of thing.
Yeah, like it says, also the earn rate, you know, your gold earn rate's 30% of the rate, 30% of the your reputation. But then it says you cannot ever earn any reputation for Athena's fortune.
Correct, or, that's endgame stuff, yeah.
You cannot ever earn any allegiance for Guardians of Fortune or Servants of the
Flame.
That's
endgame stuff, yeah.
Okay, for Gold Hoarders, Order of the Souls, Merchant Alliance, and Hunter's Call, once you reach reputation level 40, reputation is capped and cannot go further, so you
Correct.
Explain that, okay.
Yeah.
You can continue to play in Safer Seas no matter what level you are, but you will not earn reputation past level 40 with all these things.
Correct. You still get the gold. The gold is lower percentage. But again, if you're just learning the game, you could literally dive for your first mission. You end up right by the island. You go to do your first mission, grab all the gold, and you could literally just sail around and just get as much gold as you want and stop different places, learn, you know, deep sea diving, do the missions for the ships. You can go do the mermaid missions. You can go. So you do get. Here's the way I look at it. If you played the regular game and you got the gold and you got the rep, all the rep that was full, and never anybody ever touched you, then fantastic. You had a perfect experience in the Sea of Thieves where no one bothered you and you didn't waste your time.
Right.
But if you play Safer Seas, you can play for an hour, 2 hours, get all the stuff. And you'll never lose your things unless you're really bad and lose it to the NPCs, because the NPCs still attack you. The Kraken still attacks you. The Sharks still attack you. Everything still attacks you. So there are, it's a lot better game now than it was when you played it back in the day, right? So you, yes, get less experience, but you get more gold on your ship, so you're not going to lose it. So you're technically almost getting the same. You see what I'm saying? Because if I, you get the rep when you dig up the stuff anyway for the Plunder Pass. Regardless, that goes up normal. The gold and stuff that you turn in, if it's, it costs like 700 gold, you're getting 300 gold, all right, or 350 gold or whatever it is. But you're also never going to lose that to another player, so you feel accomplished by the end of your Safer Seas trip instead of getting ganked and then being pissed off and then never playing it again.
Yeah, and I think that's great. You know, I don't agree with Darth Ascension. Like, Mike's not saying that, like, Safer Seas is answering the PvE, like, request. He's saying that it at least is stuff you can do. Like, he's playing with his son. Like, I could see, like, if my kids were dying to play this game, then, okay, Safer Seas would be a great solution. Because it would take us, a super long time to probably get to 40. But for me personally, and, you know, playing, you know, a game session with my wife, I'm like, you know, I would just really, really prefer the PvE, and you know, and I know Kirk is trying to make Fetch happen. You know, Skull and Bones is not happening, dude. Like that's I want to be able to move around the romance of this game, like moving around the boat, managing the sails, tacking,
yeah.
You know, the sounds, like, and getting off of the boat and looking for buried treasure and getting a pirate map and bringing the buried treasure back to my boat. None of that is in Skull and Bones. You are just, you're literally a boat, right?
Yeah.
You're a boat in that game. Oh, Prowl raid incoming. Thank you so much, Prowl. I missed that. I am so, so sorry. You guys that raided, this is a podcast we do on Fridays where I don't look at chat as much. So I am sorry. Prowl, I appreciate you, man. Thank you guys so much for coming over. If you want to talk in chat, you do need to subscribe. We are talking about Sea of Thieves getting a little bit more on the PlayStation 5, causing a bit of a stir in the gaming world. And now we're just kind of talking about Sea of Thieves' future, like the future of the game. Do you think they'll ever budge on this and say, okay, the game's gone on long enough, here's your dadgum PvE servers?
Yeah, I think they will, because I was just watching a streamer talking about how games, once they just shut off the crew, right? This guy, Ross, I forget what his channel's name is, talking about the crew's gone. It was a game where there was a single-player mode, and there was also a multiplayer mode, but they just shut down the servers, and the game's gone. You can't play it anymore. I think if Sea of Thieves is on its tail end, and I'm not saying it's anytime soon, but let's say it's like 5 more years from now, it's been out for 10 years, like, we're done, we're not doing this anymore, they shut down the multiplayer servers and they just leave it as, now you have the whole entire game, you can go play single player, you know what I mean? I think they would do something like that with the game. I don't think they would just shut down the game. That would be a dumb move. I mean, obviously they've done it before with other games, but I think it would be smart for them at the end, at the tail end, right? Because I'm not one of those people that thinks there should be no PvP. I have like 1,000 hours, 1,400 hours in this game, right? Mm-hmm. I played it for 2 years before it even came out to the public. I played it massively when it came out. I got Pirate Captain within, you know, 2 months of the game launch. So I absolutely love Sea of Thieves. It's just that I don't have time to go back and play it as much as I want to now because just of life and whatnot. But the game itself is perfect in the PvP. And now that they've added the safer seas for people like my son or younger people that don't want to get into a way where you want to respect someone's time and that someone's time that wants to go play safer seas, they can up to a certain point. And then they, if they want to get more XP, they have to go into the regular world.
I just also thought, man, why not have private servers? Like, that would just be fun on a Friday night for me
like
to
a Fallout first, like a Fallout first type of pay for your private server type of thing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've done Fall Guys a couple of times, and I love the simplicity of like, here's the code, come play Fall Guys with me. Here's, you know, here's the private server code, and like just setting up a private server and letting, you know, some of your top members or something or your VIPs come play with you and just horsing around and having
that's
fights.
What Safer Seas is, though, kind of. But you can't play with anybody else. I know what you're saying. Like, you want just your buds on different ships and just have a fun time. Yeah, they don't do that yet. That would be fun.
Having, you know, having races, having fights, having battles, like do jousting with the boats, like get as fast as you possibly can, like ram into each other. Like, I don't know. I've always looked at Sea of Thieves and thought, you guys are right there. It's just they don't give you enough of a curated experience to where it's like so much of what happens to you can be, you know, completely lampooned by another player. And that's happened to me enough where I'm like, I have limited time and I can't gamble with it. When I only get an hour right. or two a night, I'm going to play a game where like I'm working my way through Rise of the Ronin. I've never ended a Rise of the Ronin play session and was like, well, it didn't go my way tonight. I didn't make any progress. Like, that's my big issue is that I have such limited time. If I was in a time of my life where I could put in those longer play sessions, it's like, oh, I got sunk, no big deal. I remember streaming it once, and I was constantly checking the horizon, constantly checking for other boats. And I admitted, I said, this is an aspect of the game that I love, that you're always under threat, and I've always thought, If you want to create this split, I don't think you nerf the earn rate for the PvE servers. I think what you would do is you would double it for the PvP server. So if you go into the PvP server, there's a huge amount of risk and reward. It's like, I might get sunk, but my earn rate's doubled. So I can kind of make it back. You know, I can kind of make back the losses faster.
Well, they kind of do that right now. So they were talking about the I forget what the ship's called. Flameheart ship. I forget what it's called. But if you're on that ship, and as you're winning and sinking other ships, you can go to these islands. And because you're the captain, because you're the crew of the ship, you get to go to places that other people can't. You can just walk in and then get that experience, right? And get those things. If you're not on that ship, you have to fight your way through the NPCs to get down to where they are, right? So they do give you benefits and stuff. And if you're doing like Athena stuff, you do get more XP. You're getting stuff that other people can't unless they also partake in that. There's a lot of cool things they're doing in this game, and I feel like the PvP, the best time to play Sea of Thieves is if you have an open mic. I know a lot of people don't like play games like this, but Sea of Thieves, you're going to get toxic people, but more than not, you're going to come across a crew that just wants to have fun, and you can race ships, and you can, like, I've boarded someone else's ship and went on missions with them where we were trying to shoot each other up onto those chairs to get the achievement done and stuff like that. You work together to take down a Kraken, or you work together to find the different sharks that are in the world. Sea of Thieves, and I, when Mike talks about this, the creator, the director, he talks about it as getting people to socialize in this thing. That's the best time in Sea of Thieves. It really is. But a lot of people associate the ganking and people that are just thirsty to kill someone and take their gold and stuff like that. But if you, usually when you're getting chased, if you talk to the person, the guy will come onto your ship and he'll be like, all right, dude, I'll leave you. I'm just going to take this. And you're like, all right, cool. You take that. And they leave you alone type of thing. Right. And that's part of the fantasy of being a pirate. It's not about just sinking the ship and then crapping on that person over and over again. There are those moments, but there's more than not. It's talking to the other crews. That's why they give you a microphone, right? Hey, what's going on over there? I need help with this. And they're like, yeah, I'll help you, right? Most people don't want to talk, though. So they think that everyone's threatened because they see a ship in the distance, like, oh, God, I'm going to get killed. But that's more than not, that's not what's happening.
Right. Yeah, and I don't disagree with that at all. Like, I've seen the clips. I love the idea of hopping on the open mic and role-playing or being goofy or, you know, any of that stuff. And maybe we can maybe we can curate that a bit on PlayStation. Like, turn off the cross-play. We're all new to the game. Let's just have fun. Let's work together. Let's not be toxic. I feel like toxicity and the people that are just like, they're just in there to kind of sink people and they don't care. Like, I think a lot of that comes from boredom. They're like, there's nothing else to do, so I'm just going to boot up and sink people. I've always said there's not enough risk involved there, because you boot up, you get a fresh ship, and you can just sink people all night, and there's no risk for you to lose anything. Even if you lose the fight and they sink you, you're right. Like, no big deal. I'll just get another ship. I didn't have anything on this ship. I wasn't doing anything. I wasn't, you know, collecting treasure. So I do like the idea of a game. And this is where I think Helldivers is just absolutely scratching that itch. I know I can always boot up and play, and it's PvE, it's co-op. Yep. That's a blast to me. It's like, oh man, Sea of Thieves co-op would be, to me, that's a blast. It's like, oh, let's do it. Let's talk, let's joke, let's work together. I love that. Again, is my journey as a gamer, my stage of life. I burn myself out on PvP games. So as soon as PvP starts happening, I'm like, there's so many other games to play. You know, I got a backlog a mile long. I don't need to be exposed to PvP. It's just, I'm just tired of it, you know? And I that's part of my own journey and my own bias. Like, you know, you play Quake 2 and Quake 3 and Unreal Tournament and Call of Duty across 20 years. Like, right. I've had my fill of PvP, you know? I've had enough for a lifetime. Yeah. But on the topic of performance, they did say Sea of Thieves on PlayStation 5 is optimized to run at 60 FPS in 4K. So I'm excited to see that, you know.
It's the same on Xbox.
No. Yeah, it's the same on Xbox, but I'm excited to see if the port runs well.
Oh, okay, I got you.
Like, oh, here's another game hitting good performance. I know it's an older game, but still. And then there is a performance available for supported TVs to do the 120. Now, I tested the 120 mode on my Series X. And I was really impressed.
Uh-oh.
That's
what it broke up there. Say that again. You broke up for me.
Oh, I did the 120 mode on my Series X. I don't know.
You're choppy for me. You're choppy for me for some reason. I don't know why.
That's weird. I'm not choppy for, I don't think I'm, well, I have you on a separate internet connection. So hopefully it gets better with time. Maybe it's just Discord.
You played the 120 is what you said. I heard that you tried it on Xbox 120. So how was it?
It was great. It looked really, really good. I remember, you know, I booted it up on my TV. You know, the stream sent me that really nice TV a couple years ago. I was like, man, this game is beautiful. So I really hope they nail the port. They say that this is parity with the Xbox Series X experience. So if you've played on Series X, you should be getting similar performance. And you can do the Insider program that is available as well. Now, on this topic of trophies, like, good night. Is 250 trophies, like, I don't get this. Like, I get trophy checked all the time.
I didn't read it, so I don't know what kind of trophies they have.
Well, it says all active achievements on Xbox and Steam will convert into trophies for PS5, while existing achievement progress may result in some trophies unlocking immediately upon login. So I'll log in. I'll get a bunch, like, right away. You'll probably get more than me if you get yourself a PS5. You don't have a PS5 yet, right? Okay, you can get the Pro maybe later this year. I wanted to get the details on the closed beta, so I'm scrolling down here looking for it. It says here, participants in the closed beta will be able to earn renown, currency, and cosmetic rewards of the Season 11 track. Their pirate will keep these rewards, and these items will be accessible when the game launches globally at the end of April. I believe that the beta is on the... Is it the 15th? I'm trying to find it. They don't have it listed here at the bottom.
Yeah,
I think
I heard it was like 2 weeks, the 2 weeks before, because it comes out April 30th, right?
Yes, it's April 30th. And I thought that I read that the closed beta was on April the 15th. I want to get a hard number on that. If you had a PS5, would you try this out? Would you like jump over?
Yeah, I would try it just to see how it runs and what the haptic feedback controller is and stuff. And of course, to get my cosmetics, right? Of course.
Oh, I'm sorry. It runs April 12th and it ends on April the 15th with premium and deluxe edition owners receiving access. Now, during the beta, trophies are disabled, though your progress is tracked and carried over into the game. So the 12th through the 15th is a weekend. So basically, a week from today, If you get the premium or the deluxe edition, you will get access to the Sea of Thieves closed beta. So I think that's awesome. I get people are ticked. I hope this is a big success, you know, because I think Rare's done a good thing.
I just thought about how Xbox players could get really pissed off, because if a PlayStation person logs in and they have the Master Chief skin on the PlayStation, mm-hmm. that they would lose their mind then. They would absolutely lose their mind, because right now, obviously, you have it because you're on Xbox, but is that mm-hmm. is that cosmetic on the ship? Cosmetic? Is that going to be in the PlayStation version? Because I want it to happen. I do. I want to see like Twitter blow up and lose their minds because Master Chief will be on the PlayStation.
I mean, there's whispers, you know, there's whispers about that, about the Master Chief Collection coming over. The future is looking really weird, you know. There are some people that are still holding out hope that it's only going to be these four games, and I'm like, no, dude. I think there's more coming.
Those four games for now.
I think there's more coming just this year. I mean, why would you do all these games so fast and so close together? Spread them out and do one per quarter. They did them all within like 2 months of each other. It's like...
It's a test phase. That's why.
I even think saying test phase, you're not being disingenuous, but I think if they said this is a test phase, like, that's disingenuous. No. You guys are going to keep doing this.
No, of course they are. They're putting just four out there, right? They're just putting four out there to say, let's see how these do, right? And then... next quarter comes out, they'll be like, oh, look, we're putting eight games now over there. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. You can already use the Master Chief skin in Fortnite. Well, sure, you can use the Master Chief skin in Fortnite or even in Fall Guys, but that's not the same as using the Master Chief skin in a first-party Xbox game that jumped over.
No, my point for the boat stuff is that I forget how you got it. It was like a event that happened and you could get it, right? I forget if it was watching Twitch or something happened, but it would be funny to me though if you could cosmetically make your boat look like, because you would think that if they're giving exclusives to PlayStation, obviously PlayStation paid for that, by the way, that's how they made more money for Microsoft. They paid for the exclusive stuff to get over there. And then if PlayStation has their own thing and Xbox loses all their stuff, but they still don't have the Master Chief exclusive skin for their ships, that would just make me laugh.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah,
you know, I there's a part of me that the people I feel the most bad for are the consumers that genuinely just loved Xbox and stuck it out with them and bought into this gen. I don't feel bad for the guys that were just, you know, the toxic fanboys on Twitter. I don't really feel bad for them. They're kind of getting their comeuppance. But I do feel bad for the guys that they scraped their money together and they bought a Series S or an X, and both consoles just completely promised stuff that didn't happen.
I agree with you there.
I tried to tell people all last year when I was critical of the Series S, I was like, I'm on your side here. Like, you were told something that it wasn't true. As like, it was too good to be true, you know? I remember reading tweets that people are pulling receipts. People thought they were going to be getting 1440, 120. On the Series S, and it was like, this guy was like, I don't know if that's going to happen. He's like, it's the people like, be prepared. And was like, I do. I feel bad for those consumers. I also feel bad if they suddenly feel like, man, now our games are going to the other side too. I get the feeling of frustration that a lot of them are going through.
I mean, I understand people are upset. I'm not one of those people. I play where I want. So if it makes it more convenient where I can play that game on one console, or multiple consoles, you know, more power to us then, right? More power to the actual gamers that want to play more games everywhere.
Well, and obviously, you know, that's the big question going forward. To take this strategy, are they going, you know, are they going to start prioritizing performance and features for PlayStation? You know what I'm saying? Can you imagine Blade releasing and it runs better on PlayStation, or it has more features on PlayStation? Like, that again is just, I just don't think it's going to sit well, but it might just not matter to Xbox. They're like, we're in the business of making great games and selling them. Like, if it upsets people that are, you know, loyal to hardware, Xbox isn't loyal to the hardware anymore, as far as I can tell.
I'm more upset that Xbox should be upset with Xbox, not with PlayStation getting stuff, right? Because the PlayStation can handle running that stuff. The X can handle running that stuff, but because they're doing the parody of the S and the X, I'm punished because I paid more money for a more powerful system that I can't use because they're doing the parody thing. And that's what pisses me off as an Xbox person. Not that our games are going over to PlayStation, but that I can't play Hellblade. I didn't even play Hellblade, but the fact that Hellblade 2 is coming out and I have to be, you know, stopped where the S is and not have a performance mode where I can play because I paid $200. Like, for me, it doesn't make any sense. If I buy a V6 and you buy a four cylinder, right? They're both Hondas or whatever. My cars would be more powerful than yours. You know why? Because I paid more money for the upgrade for the actual engine. It's more powerful. I can go faster than you. This is what happens. For some reason, they're like, no, no, you bought the six. Here's the four cylinder. And they go the exact same speed. Like, what the hell? Like, why would I want that? Like, I paid more money for the Series X. I wanted to run better quality stuff. And they can, but they choose not to because of the parity stuff. And that's what pisses me off.
Well, and the other thing about it that I think is frustrating is I don't necessarily know if Hellblade 2 is 30 because of parity, but I do think if there was just the Series X and Ninja Theory was tasked with building their game just for the Series X, the way that PlayStation handles their exclusives, like you're a PlayStation studio, you are building this game for the PS5. If they would have handled Hellblade 2 in that way, I have to assume we would have gotten performance mode. We would have gotten a better, because they would have said that's what you promised for the Series X. Do you see? Like, it's like if you promise 60 up to 120, then if a team is tasked with you're going to build this game just for the Series X, they would have figured it out because it would have been a priority of the company and the brand synergy with Xbox. But there's never going to be a game built for the Series X. There isn't. You're always building a game for the X, the S, and the PC. And
right, for the ecosystem of Xbox, not for that particular box for Xbox.
Right. So it's like when I bought the Series X, I bought into a completely false notion of, well, this is their priority. This is their big thing they're focusing on. It's like, not really. The S came out. I think a lot of us thought, oh, it's basically the same. You just have to turn the resolution down. And the reason we thought that is they told us that. And so I don't think anybody thought we were going to end up where we are, where I bought a $500 console that quite literally has one game that makes good on the promise of the gen, Forza Horizon. Every other game, I'm like, no, there's no next-gen games showing off the power of that game. And if you want to say Hi-Fi Rush, okay, I'll give you Hi-Fi Rush, but the art style of that game, it's like you're not showing off what we were hoping to get. And I get it. I think this is all part of the frustration with Sea of Thieves. Like, there's just this growing sense of like, what in the world did we buy into this gen?
Yeah, a lot of the games that do come out though are not running at that frame rate when it launches, and then they do a upgrade later. So there are games, there's over 100 games that run at like 120 frames per second on Xbox, but the fact is that a brand new game's coming out and it's not running at 120 frames per second, or not even running at 60 frames per second. That, I think that's what most people are upset about.
Well, right, and Paul's saying we have loads of UE5 games that run like crap on both Xbox and PS5. Can you point to a single UE5 game that was built for one system? You can't. I am convinced that if you had a dev team that was tasked with building an exclusive game for the PS5 or an exclusive game for the Series X, they could figure it out. They could, because you're building for one system. You would know where to cut corners, where to turn things off, where to optimize. Like, I know that UE5 is heavy and clunky, and devs have not gotten good at optimizing it yet. That is 100% true. But this idea that that's not also playing a role, you're compounding an existing problem. What you're basically arguing is that anybody who wants to build a UE5 game, and this is a huge cause of concern for Gears, the next Gears of War game, this is a huge cause for concern. It means that you're compounding the problem. Not only are you working within an engine that's clunky, heavy, and the features are really taxing, but, oh yeah, by the way, you're not able to build Gears for one box and make it the best that it could be. You got to build for multiple platforms. That just heightens my concern for Gears, that the Hellblade 2 announcement does. And it's just unfortunate, because it's like, these are great pieces of property. They really are. Hellblade's a great piece of property. Gears is a great piece of property. And I have a feeling we're going to be having the same conversation about Gears that I had this morning.
Yeah, real quick, was it Shooter Forever? Halo didn't come out with 120 frame mode. It was like season 2, I believe. I don't quote me, but I'm pretty sure it was later on. It wasn't at launch. I'm pretty sure. That's my point, though. At launch, games running at 60 or 120 frames, they don't do it at launch. It's at a later time. And Halo 2 season 2 was also delayed, by the way. It didn't come when season 2 was supposed to come out.
Why don't Sony Studios do it? Build their exclusives using Unreal Engine? Because I believe that they use superior engines. Insomniac's proprietary engine and the Decima engine, I believe they're superior. I would actually love it if they would start licensing out the Decima engine. I think the Decima engine is magnificent. I think that's going to be an engine I would hope you even see it showing up more. That's why I'm actually glad that PlayStation Studios don't use Unreal, because apparently Unreal is not what we all thought it was. Everybody thought Unreal 5 was going to usher in this amazing era. I thought it. I thought the same thing. I saw all these studios flocking to Unreal 5 and I'm like, yo, Unreal 5 is about to bring it. And it's like, no. It is not. It's heavy. It's not. It's apparently it's tough to optimize in. Now, hopefully, in a couple of years, some of these teams can figure out how to optimize better. But Immortals of Avium, Lords of the Fallen, and now Hellblade 2. It's like anybody that builds their game in Unreal 5 is like, they just can't get great performance. It wouldn't surprise me at all if Hellblade 2 doesn't run all that well on PC, because that's the pattern right now with Unreal 5 games. That's the pattern.
Eugene, you're absolutely correct. I'm looking at a list right now for first-party titles, and there's first-party titles that they bought that are now first-party titles that run at 60 and 30, but those were bought, not made through the first-party. So like the Fallout series, you can play 60 frames, 3 and 4, on Xbox Series X and 30 frames on the S, but that's not it is a first party title, but it wasn't initially a first party title. So you're right. I don't see a 60-30 on this list particularly, and there's 102 games here.
If Gears wasn't multiplayer, I think you'd have a reason to be worried, much like I think you should about Indiana Jones, but most 120 games or modes are multiplayer for a reason. I think Gears is safe. I don't think Gears is safe because it's being built in Unreal 5. I do not have my confidence in Unreal 5 is in the ground. I don't have any confidence in that engine right now. There have to be some pretty big strides to change some of what we're seeing taking place. And I think that's the big issue.
Isn't First Ascendant Unreal Engine 5? I know it's third party, it's not first party, but isn't that running at Unreal Engine 5? And then so is Transformers Reactivate's Unreal Engine 5. And I'm pretty sure those will run at 60 frames per second. And I guess what I'm trying to say is, how can third-party companies do it, but yet first-party companies cannot?
Well, and I don't actually know. But that's the thing. If you go to a game like The First Ascendant, they're going to turn all the fancy stuff off because it's a live-service multiplayer game. So they're not turning all the fancy. That's the issue with Hellblade 2. They turned all the fancy stuff.
Same with Transformers Reactivate. Yeah, it's going to be online.
And that tells me that it's a decision that the developers are making. It's not like you can blame Unreal 5 all you want, but it's like, okay, but if games start coming out like First Ascendant and they run just fine, it's like, oh, well, they turned all those features off. Well, then you've got to make that decision from the beginning. If it's not a priority from the beginning, you know, that was something John Linneman said. He's like, you know, they did all this stuff, you know, building it from the ground up. And it's like, well, then that's on them. Like, they started building this game in, you know, 2019, they announced it. They weren't even in full production in 2021. They had plenty of time to make that decision to say, you know, the Series X marketed itself as a 60 FPS box. That should be a priority as a first party studio. That's how that should have worked.
I started talking about this a couple of weeks ago, and I'm going to ask, is there any developers that watch your stream? Is there anybody in chat that's like knows developing and what the cost of difference between 30 frames and 60 frames and 120 frames? Is there a big difference in production-wise? Because the reason I'm asking is I think Xbox's way of doing stuff is that obviously games are getting more expensive, right? And let's say to make a game run at a higher frame rate, maybe it takes more time to put in, and it drives the cost up from, let's say, 150 million to now 250 million. And when that game comes out, because they're using Game Pass as day and date, and they know they're going to sell some games, but if the price gets up too high, they have to sell, like Spider-Man has to sell 7 million copies to make their money back, right? Where if a game doesn't cost $350 million, it costs $150 million, then they only need to sell 3 million to 4 million copies. You know what I'm saying? So I wonder if keeping it at that lower frame rate and not doing that, if it saves them a crap ton of money. And I'm asking, you know, I'm asking if that's the reason they're staying with that 30 frames with the 4K and the quality stuff instead of the performance stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it's about driving up cost. I mean, the interviews about Hellblade 2 that gave me concern was, they were like, well, Unreal 5 allows us to scan something and bring it into the game a lot faster, and it helped them hit the trajectories that they wanted to hit. And I'm like, okay, so let me get this straight. You're an 80-man team. You were not in full production two and a half years ago, and you chose this engine because it sped things up and allowed you to hit the trajectory that you wanted to hit. So what you're telling me is this game you didn't have enough time. You had to shrink project length, and that's why you went with this engine. Like, I'm not saying that's the only reason, but when he said that, I was like, that's not a good reason to me. It's like, oh, you can now hit your ship date that you want to hit. You didn't choose this engine because it was the best engine for the game, fidelity, performance, and the whole package. You're like, oh, this is going to help us, you know, do something faster so we can hit a ship date that we want. That's exactly the last thing I want to hear about a game. It's like, oh, great. This is going to be really well optimized, I can tell.
Yeah, Chad, I'm just asking because I'm trying to figure out their cost. What, you know, if they invest 250 to 300 million, what does that get them compared to 150 million? They would get more turn on investment if it was a lower, you know, cost game. Keep the cost down as much as possible. But I don't know what, I'm not a developer, so I don't know what time goes into an optimizing from 30 to 60 to whatever.
Well, I think we're going to move into VIP, but before we do that, I want to give Mike a chance to tell you guys where you can find him, and his name will be clickable in the description below. I don't know why it wasn't clickable. It is clickable. His name is clickable below. If you're listening to this or watching this later, you can click his name in the description, or you can always go to YouTube and search for 30NSG. Don't forget, if you're a member, you can upgrade to VIP. Once a week, we do a VIP stream with Mike and my producer, kind of behind the scenes, a little bit unfiltered, gets a little crazy. But then, tonight, my wife is going to play Stellar Blade. You don't want to miss that. I don't know what she's going to think or what she's going to say. It'll probably be hilarious, but you do need to be at the $6 member tier. Go to the member page if you want to upgrade. So, Mike, where can they find you? What content you working on right now? What's going on? You still doing with Justice League or what?
I played through the Joker stuff last week, like I said. Okay. But since then, there's nothing going on in Suicide Squad. It's one of the worst DLC season expansions of any game ever released, which is sad. Like a wet towel on the ground, just like hit. You can find me over on 30NSG Monday through Thursday from 10 o'clock in the morning till noon Eastern. I just have conversations, read a couple news stories, banter back and forth with chat. Then we also do uploads. We do live streams with gameplay Monday through Wednesday. I do a podcast sometimes on Wednesdays called The Chatting with 30. I bring on different YouTube guests. And then Thursday nights we do a flagship podcast called Generation X Gaming. We've been doing 390 episodes now since yesterday. And that's on Thursday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern. So,
yeah, guys, make sure and subscribe to him, especially if you like watching content on YouTube in the evenings. The only time you get that for me is on Friday nights. So make sure if you are a $6 member or higher, if you get to come to Writer's Room, if you get to come to those Friday nights, make sure you tune in tonight. Again, that I think it's probably going to be pretty hysterical to watch my wife play through Stellar Blade. I have not prepped her. I want her sort of like raw reaction to the game and all of the flamboyance of the character. We'll see what she thinks of that. Make sure as well you guys smack that like button. Thanks for a strong turnout today hanging out with us. I'm going to spam a link in chat for the VIP stream so you can click that. It'll also redirect you guys. If redirect doesn't work, you can use that link there. And then the VIP link will also be in the Discord. That should give you guys an opportunity. To come over. I'm going to start that now. Thanks so much for being a VIP or higher, your weekly VIP stream. Some of you guys have actually downgraded from VIP, which is fine. But if you want more VIP stuff, let us know what you'd like to see. We think the weekly stream is really fun. But if you want more for VIP, that's totally fine. Do that and let us know with feedback. I'm going to end the previous stream and bring folks over via redirect. And thank you guys so much for watching Mike and I chop up some Sea of Thieves information. And we're going to end that stream and I'll change that.